Hey there, friends. Welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and I'm blessed to be able to join you on this journey as we read the New Testament in a year together. We're reading one chapter per day of the New Testament. One chapter per day. 260 chapters in a year, 260 weekdays in a year. Excuse me, 260 chapters in the New Testament and 260 weekdays in a year, and it all plays out just right for us to make it to this journey and the finish line of reading the entire New Testament together. But as we read the New Testament, not only are we reading the Scripture, but we are diving into some application to find ways that we can allow God's Word to transform our lives, as the Word alone will. And so, we're going to be taking that step in Matthew chapter 9 today. So, grab your Bible if you can and listen closely if you will. And let's read God's Word together. Okay, so here we go. Matthew chapter 8 is where we need to start before we get into chapter 9. And a bit of a review. In Matthew chapter 8, we saw Jesus demonstrating his power and his authority through miracles. He healed a man with leprosy. He healed the centurion's servant from a distance. And he healed men who were demon-possessed and sent the demons into the pigs and they fell into the sea, right? Went over that cliff there. So, but we also read about Jesus calming the storm of the sea. And that highlighted his control over nature too. This chapter sets the stage by showing not just the miraculous power of Jesus, but also his compassion and the challenges that would come of following him. And so let's look at what we're about to get into with Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9 now, we're going to see Jesus continuing performing miracles and calling his first disciples. But this chapter is filled with these events that display the authority and the empathy also of Jesus. He heals a paralyzed man. He calls Matthew the tax collector to come and follow him. He raises a girl from the dead. And we see these other miracles take place. These not only affirm that his messianic identity, but he also brings forth reactions from the crowd and the people around him. And the skeptics rise up, especially the religious leaders. So as we read chapter 9, here are the big look for us that kind of keep our ears peeled for as we're reading together. First one is, listen for Jesus's authority. And I know we saw a lot of that, but the forgiveness of sins that comes with that, not just physical healing. Watch how Jesus not only heals the body, but how he addresses the spiritual condition of these people. And then as a result of that, watch how the crowd and the religious leaders respond to Jesus' claim of forgiving sins. And it's a good opportunity for us as we're reading to think about his significance, the significance of Jesus' ability to forgive sins. And what that implies is he's the Son of God. The second big look for is watch the calling of Matthew. Now, Matthew is this tax collector, this social status of tax collectors. They were despised. Everyone despised them. You walk out in public, you're trying to hide because these are the people that are taking your money. They're not just doing that, but they have to take a little extra for themselves. And so they're dirty, rotten folk that nobody likes. Matthew, a tax collector of all people. They're the scum of the earth, then, right? Nobody liked them. That social status of Matthew and Jesus called him of all people. Watch how that plays out. And there's so much significance there. And think about what this says about who Jesus came to save. and the mission that he had. And finally, listen for how Jesus responds to criticism. The criticism that's going to come from those Pharisees, those religious leaders, about his actions, and not only his actions, but who he's hanging around with. They don't like it. But then listen for the parables and the teachings that Jesus uses to explain his actions. And think about how Jesus prioritizes mercy over ritual or tradition. And how he emphasizes the heart of the law over the letter of the law, the heart that's there. So, as we read now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9 together if you can. We're going to read from Matthew 9 with those look fors in mind and start in verse 1 and go all the way down to verse 38. All the way down, over, turn the page, whatever it looks like for you. We'll start in Matthew 9, verse 1. Let's do this together. Here we go, verse 1. So, he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Just then, some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Have courage, son. Your sins are forgiven." At this time, some of the scribes said to themselves, "He's blaspheming." Perceiving their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why are you thinking evil things in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he told the paralytic, "Get up, take your stretcher, and go home." So he got up and he went home. When the crowds saw this, they were awestruck, and they gave glory to God who had given such authority to men. Verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While he was reclining at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came to eat with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Now, when he heard this, he said, "It is not those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And he said that, quoting Hosea 6:6. And then he goes on and says this, "For I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." Verse 14. Then John's disciples came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests be sad while the groom is with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and they will fast. No one patches an old garment with unshrunk cloth, because the patch pulls away from the garment and makes the tear worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the skins burst, the wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. No, they put wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." As he was telling these things, suddenly one of the leaders came and knelt down before him, saying, "My daughter just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." So Jesus and his disciples got up and followed him. Just then a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years approached from behind and touched the end of his robe. For she said to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I'll be made well." Jesus turned to her, and he saw her. "Have courage, daughter," he said. "Your faith has saved you." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house, he saw the flute players and crowd lamenting loudly. "Leave," he said, "because the girl is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. The news of this spread throughout that whole area. Verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord, yes." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Then Jesus warned them sternly, "Be sure that no one finds out." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout that whole area. Verse 32. Just as they were going out, a demon-possessed man, who was unable to speak, was brought to him. When the demon had been driven out, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed, saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the ruler of the demons." Verse 35. Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And that is Matthew chapter 9. Let's take a moment to reflect on what we read and find some application. Okay. In Matthew chapter 9, we noticed several scenarios play out. Several scenarios, and all just displaying the authority that Jesus has and his amazing power and understanding of his people. But I want us to start with our first takeaway today, that Jesus meets us where we are. See, Jesus healed the paralyzed man that was brought to him. And that was showing him that he meets us in our needs, whatever they might be. Whatever we're struggling with, Jesus can meet us where we are. He knows our deepest needs, even beyond the physical healing. You see, Jesus not only said, "Be healed, get up and walk." What's the first thing he did? He said, "You are forgiven." In our brokenness, he meets us in that moment. Beyond our physical needs, he knows our spiritual needs take priority. And so this teaches us that whatever situation we find ourselves in our brokenness, in our unworthiness, in our sin-filled life that we think we will never be yet worthy of God's mercy or favor, he meets us there. That's where he wants us to come to him. And so the encouragement is that we should bring our needs, both spoken and unspoken, to Jesus in prayer, trusting that he hears us and he cares and he knows. That he knew the paralyzed man. It was looked on the outside, he needed that physical healing, but he knew on the inside he needed spiritual healing more than anything. And as the woman with the problem of bleeding came to him, touched his robe, didn't even have to say a word, healed her unspoken requests. Bring your needs to the Father, both spoken and unspoken. And trust that He hears you and that He cares and He will heal you. And He will. And I want to highlight again, and I think this is perfect for our second takeaway, the importance of spiritual healing. Jesus healed the paralytic sins before healing his body. That importance that's there. I think it's important that, I know it's important that our spiritual well-being is eternal. And it's of the utmost importance. We will all face physical needs, harms, hurts, loss, limitations in our life. And we want to, oftentimes our prayers are for physical healings or blessings. And instead, we should seek the renewal of our hearts and our minds first and foremost. And so my encouragement, that you make your prayer life, make it prioritize with spiritual needs instead of the physical healings that we pray for so often. Focus on the spiritual. They take priority. And finally, our third big takeaway is that when we follow Jesus, it changes us. See, Matthew's life was totally transformed. He was immediately obedient. He got up and he followed Jesus. And he was transformed. Transformed from this despised tax collector to one of Jesus' disciples. It changes us. We're called to live out this transformation in our daily lives and show others the mercy and the love that we've received. We can be transformed regardless of what the world thinks of us. Jesus will take us in as his own. I encourage you to reflect, and this is some clear application in this. Think and reflect on how you can show the change that Jesus has made in your life to those around you. Your testimony is often the most powerful tool in your toolbox or your tool belt that you can use for sharing the gospel. Where God has brought you from where you used to be to where you are now. Are you a changed woman, a changed man? Let the world know about it. Especially those around you. I know who you used to be. Praise God, you're no longer that person anymore. You can be totally changed. Share that good news. Share that gospel truth that Jesus can save and wants to save everyone and meets you at your needs. Praise God for that. All right, awesome, awesome. Thanks for joining me today. I'm looking forward to Matthew chapter 10, where he's going to be sending out the 12 apostles with these instructions and warnings. And there's good stuff coming up again. That's all good. I love it. Thanks for joining me today. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And may you strive to be a blessing to all those around you today. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.